This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're talking about politicians who've been seen to be flouting the MCO. I was going to say bending the rules surrounding it, but really it's the same thing. And we're talking here specifically of the photos you may have seen of the Deputy Health Minister who sat down for a meal with over a dozen other people when he visited a Tafi school in Perak. Now, there's a lot of stuff to consider here, so we are going to be crossing over to constitutional lawyer Surendra Anand. Again, if you'd like to weigh in, if you've seen the photos, if you'd like to offer some thoughts, you can, of course, call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Surendra, thank you so much for joining us. So what kind of tone do politicians set when they are seen to flout rules like the MCO?
Well, I guess it sets a very bad example. Politicians are, after all, leaders, and they are the ones who would have come up with these very rules that they expect people to follow. So when they themselves flout it, I think it sets a bad example. It puts the morale down, especially with the MCO, because it's something that all of us would find difficult to comply with. And at the time when you need good leadership, you're getting the complete opposite.
And do you think that, with that said, then it is enough to apologise?
It really depends on the situation, the rules that are violated, the type of violation. So if you take this example, this instance, I honestly do not think an apology is enough. Because like I said, all of us are having our own difficulties trying to comply with this MCO. It is not an easy thing to do, especially with no certainty as to how long more it will be extended. So if someone in the position of power, whom I would like to think would be more than able to comply with the MCO, given his financial status, etc., I honestly don't see an apology as being sufficient. I honestly think he should resign.
Mm. And, you know, on that note about resignation, looking at how it's been handled in another country, in New Zealand, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern declined the health minister's resignation for violating the lockdown there. Instead, what she did was she demoted his cabinet ranking since the country couldn't afford a disruption, which is how it was termed, to COVID-19 efforts. How do you view that? I mean, should there be exceptions to dismissing leaders from office?
Yeah, I suppose from that perspective, and that was the case, I think, where the minister himself came out and apologized. And perhaps, to some extent, that minister is still instrumental or influential in New Zealand's policy in combating the COVID-19. So I suppose, yes, there has to be a balance as to the value that minister has and whether or not you could actually get a replacement to cover the work that the minister is doing within a short span of time in a situation of emergency. So I suppose on that side, that evaluation was made, and that particular minister would have still had value in the cabinet. Whereas in this case, I'm not trying to undermine the minister and his work, because he was out to provide, I think, aid or food. But the fact is, the lunch afterwards in such a crowd with no social distancing was very unwarranted. But over here, I think the DG is the one that has been instrumental in pushing the policies across and combating the COVID-19. So in this scenario where you already have a Minister of Health and two Deputy Health Ministers, I think the step taken by the Prime Minister of New Zealand should not be followed here.
So the other thing I think that you brought up, which is an excellent point, is this idea of business as usual, right? Because while you might be going out to provide aid and to do things that are seen as necessary, there are other things that perhaps might have been okay in the past, you know, that would have been an accepted part of meeting the community and so on, that now is inappropriate. So from your point of view then, how can MPs and ministers draw the line between this sort of business as usual work for their constituencies and then tasks that are related to COVID-19 efforts?
So I think the policies and the laws set by the government do, to some extent, provide quite a clear guideline. So if you're going out to provide aid in your duty as an MP, then that's an official duty, which I think you can do. But just because you're carrying out an official duty that's allowed, that does not then mean you should just ignore the health rules that come with it. And this is where the social distancing part comes. So, if you, for example, you're providing aid, then if you're doing it to a house-to-house basis with distancing measures, that's fine. But obviously, you should not be putting yourself in or organizing any form of gatherings, which to me has nothing much to do or could benefit in terms of giving aid or food. I mean, there's so many other ways to do it. Having a lunch gathering to me was just not related to his job.
And do you think that there are gaps in enforcement maybe or procedures which might have allowed these gatherings involving politicians to occur?
Well, to be fairly honest, the Malaysian regulations are very strict because it's basically you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything unless it's for very specific reasons. So in that sense, the law and regulation is quite tight. But in terms of enforcement, obviously now we can see that maybe some people might or might not be above the law, but I'm not sure yet because I think it's still under investigation. But this is a clear-cut case where I think the MCO was violated. I believe someone came up with a statement saying that, oh, no, they were practicing social distancing. But the point is not really that. The point is he was out in a place which does not fall within any of the exceptions under the MCO. So whether or not there's social distancing to me, it's not relevant in terms of violating the MCO. Even I can't go out and have lunch with my friends. Mm. If I practice social distancing, I'm still violating the law. So in this case, I think it's more of the enforcement aspect that needs to be stepped up a bit.
And I actually do want to continue on that thread a little bit more on the subject of enforcement, because I think that it's taken a little bit of time for there to be, I would say, a settling in period in terms of everybody sort of understanding and agreeing to what it is that they are or are not allowed to do. And I think a part of that has been down to perhaps enforcement. I think right at the start, we saw some confusion over, for example, whether or not you must wear masks in order to be allowed out. You know, there were certain encounters, for example, at roadblocks where there was some confusion. So if the rules, according to the law, are so clear, then where is the blurring of the lines as it, you know, trickles downwards?
Yes, I think this is a really good one because when the regulations first came out, the first phase, the regulations were actually only released on, I can still remember, it was Wednesday, 18th of March, and it only was gazetted in the morning, but it took force from 12 midnight. And even when it was gazetted, it's in the legal language because it's a legal document. So, if, for example, if I'm a lawyer, I read it, I can get it. But there was no effort whatsoever by the government to communicate these regulations in layman terms to the general public. That was problem number one. I mean, you cannot expect the public to be able to comprehend legal documents, especially if their liberty is at line, in such a short period of time. Number two, you had various different ministries adding on to the rules on an end-to-end basis. So one day you'd see one minister saying, oh no, you can't have another person in your car. Then another minister saying you cannot go more than 10 kilometers. You know, all these things kept adding up here and there. And that generated more confusion as to what you can or cannot do. So I think to sum it up, it's just this PR aspect, communicating to the public, where I think the government has not done a good job. You can't expect the public to just comprehend these laws on sort of short-term period. And you cannot, to me personally, be arresting people if you're not giving them proper information in an easy-to-understand format.
Mm. And coming back then to the situation with politicians, I think that there has been a lot of outcry, there's been a lot of anger surrounding this exact story. Do you think that there should be more severe penalties for public servants when they break laws, especially, I think, when looking at a situation like what we're facing now?
Well, I think, to me, yes, but I would rather focus it on ministers, like the political leaders, as opposed to civil servants in general. I think, like I said earlier, these are the people that should be leading by example. And if they don't, I think a more severe punishment is warranted for them.
Mm. And in closing, what do you think can be done to increase political accountability? I think especially as it is seen in terms of following the law, you know, which is supposed to be something that we are all doing.
Yep. I think the institutions that are in charge of enforcing and upholding the law, the police, the courts, etc., they need to step it up as well. I mean, not really the courts, I think more of the police. So in this scenario, look, I think it's good that the police immediately came up with a statement saying that we're calling in the relevant people, questioning. So the people, well, the perception was, okay, you know what, action is being taken regardless of who the person is. But, you know, no update since then. And then you had a statement saying, well, no, it's okay, it was social distancing. So you're back to step one again, and you're like, okay, then you could, you know, fine, issue compounds, arrest an old man who was just out waiting for food, for example, and other people who were just gathering around their house, but why not him? So I think it comes down to the enforcement agencies and their independence and accountability.
Surendra, thank you so much for joining us.
No worries. Thank you.
That was constitutional lawyer Surendra Anand talking to us about the fair application of laws during the MCO. If you have any thoughts to share on, well, politicians being seen perhaps to not strictly follow or follow at all the MCO, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can call 7733-2900. And you can also tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.